Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 65 at 19,614. It's another record high close for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Whenever the Dow Jones Industrial Average hits a record high close, we celebrate here at the Money Radio Megaplex in beautiful uptown Scottsdale. Money Radio Symphonic Orchestra plays the celebratory theme. Money Radio staff gathers in the control room. I'm in the talk studio. They are in the control room. Today, James, Jeffrey, Wes, good to see you. Chris, Marcus, and Renee. Renee is back. Finally, some order will be restored. Go ahead and light the candles. Yeah, what'd I tell you? Renee's there. We got candles today. And they're lighting the candles. The control room lights up with a beautiful ambient candlelight glow. And you can start the procession down the hallway to the Money Radio Bistro, where you will find today sugar cookies, you know, the traditional Christmas cookies, very nicely decorated today. Festive red and green sprinkles on top. That's how we celebrate milk and cookies when the Dow hits a record high close. S&P 500 also at a record high, up 4 at 2,246. NASDAQ Composite also at a record high, up 23 at 5,417. Russell 2000 index of small and mid-cap stocks, up 21 at a record high, 1,386. Toss in the Dow Jones Transportation Average at a record high as well. Another big day here. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 4 basis points at 2.39%. Oil up 92 cents at $51.86 per barrel. Gold down $2.90 at $1,171.40 per ounce. This was the 13th record high for the Dow Industrials since Trump was elected president on November 8th. The Dow has climbed a stunning almost 1,300 points in the month since the election. Since the election 1 month ago, some $2 trillion has shifted from bonds to equities. And for stocks, most developed markets have surged, while several emerging markets submerged, led by Mexico and Ghana. Russia and Venezuela soared, though that was due more to OPEC's agreement to drive up oil prices. Of 94 primary stock indexes tracked by Bloomberg, more than two-thirds climbed in local currency terms with a median gain of 2%. The dollar has also surged. Of the 20 largest markets comprising 90% of world capitalization, seven declined in dollar value, but for five of them, that was all down to currency shifts. How lasting a pattern the new market dynamics will be is an open question. With more than a month to go before Trump takes office and plenty of potential roadblocks to his fiscal and regulatory proposals in a, shall we say, fractious U.S. Congress. For now, eyes turn toward next week's Fed meeting to set the tone for the outlook as far as monetary policy goes. The Fed hiked rates last December. They will almost certainly hike rates another quarter point next week for only the second increase in 10 years. On forward guidance, the Fed will keep open the possibility of multiple hikes in 2017. This is due not only to its anticipation of a solid economic baseline for next year, but also the new upside for growth and inflation associated with the recent policy announcements by President-elect Trump. Now, an important consideration here is the degree to which a more active fiscal policy, especially if led by productive infrastructure spending, would allow faster normalization of monetary policy. And while the Fed will hint at future rate hikes, they'll throw in the standard caveat about data dependency, which is also a way to wait for the details of the Trump administration's economic policies before moving towards significant alterations of their forward guidance. Number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits fell to a five-month high last week. Initial claims for state unemployment benefits dropped 10,000 to a seasonally adjusted 258,000. It was the 92nd straight week that claims were below 300,000. Super Mario strikes again. The European Central Bank announced it will extend its bond-buying program until December of 2017, much longer than investors had anticipated, and that will add up to about $2.4 trillion in stimulus from the ECB. But the bank also said it will decrease the scale of its bond purchases from around $86 billion a month to $64 billion a month starting in April. The euro initially gained against the dollar but quickly reversed course. By extending bond purchases but reducing the monthly pace, the ECB may be trying to preserve its monetary stimulus as political risks, things like the Brexit or the situation in Italy, cloud the outlook for the euro area's recovery. And no matter what Draghi claims, the monthly amount of stimulus is going down, and that sounds an awful lot like tapering. 8 months ago, Deutsche Bank settled a lawsuit claiming it manipulated prices of precious metals. Now, plaintiffs say documents it disclosed as part of the accord provide smoking gun proof that UBS, HSBC, Bank of Nova Scotia, and other firms rigged the silver market. The newly cited evidence was produced by Deutsche Bank after it reached a $38 million settlement in the case earlier this year. The plaintiffs said the evidence showed the new defendants engaged in collusive price manipulation. And there is some pretty damning evidence. Court documents show silver traders at UBS and Deutsche Bank so regularly conspired with one another to trigger stop-loss orders that they coined a little nickname for themselves, Stop Busters. As in, who you gonna call? One UBS trader, while planning a series of manipulative silver transactions with a Deutsche Bank trader, wrote on April 1st, 2011, not a joke, he wrote, "If we are correct and we do it together, we screw other people harder." That's a great reason to go to work each day, isn't it? The plaintiffs presented evidence from Deutsche Bank documents showing traders from the different banks directly communicated to discuss ways to rig the market. Among other things, the traders shared customer order flow information, improperly triggered customer stop-loss orders, and engaged in practices such as spoofing, which entails submitting bids or offers with the intention of canceling them before they're executed as a way to alter prices. Separately, an audit commissioned by German regulators suggests that Deutsche employees may have manipulated internal indexes as part of a scheme to help the Italian bank Monte dei Paschi conceal losses. A U.S. bank regulator is ready to fail Wells Fargo on a national scorecard for community lending. The bank, already in hot water over its recent fake account scandal, is reportedly falling short in its fair lending requirements. According to Reuters, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency may cut Wells' Community Reinvestment Act rating two notches, from outstanding to needs to improve, which would give regulators greater say on day-to-day matters like opening new branches. Following the 2008 housing market collapse, the OCC faulted several national banks for their community lending, but no U.S. bank has been cut two notches. The steel production and manufacturing plant design divisions of ThyssenKrupp has become the target of a massive cyber attack. ThyssenKrupp, one of the world's largest steelmakers, attributed the breaches to unnamed attackers located in Southeast Asia, engaged in what it said were highly organized professional hacker activities. Globally, cyber attacks on banks, retailers, other businesses have led to widespread consumer data breaches and mounting financial losses in recent years, but revelations of industrial espionage are rare. The company declined to identify specific locations which were infected or why it had not previously disclosed the attack. ThyssenKrupp said it could not estimate the scale of the intellectual property losses. Costco posted quarterly results today. Costco's first quarter of fiscal 2017, which ended November 20th, saw net sales come in at $27.4 billion. That's an increase of 3% from a year ago. In addition, same-store sales up 1% in the U.S., 4% in Canada, flat internationally. Those numbers look better when you factor out lower gas prices and foreign exchange. Net income rose to $545 million, or $1.24 per share, up from $480 million, or $1.09 per share last year. Those are solid numbers showing that the company has put any problems related to its switching rewards credit card providers well in the past. Also, this covers the holiday shopping season, so that suggests that while Amazon has taken market share from other retailers, Costco has remained more or less immune. Sears, once the biggest, most well-known name in retail, but in the past few years, the brand has been on the decline. In fact, they're getting worse. The once venerable department store chain reported a wider third-quarter loss than the prior year period. Sales continued to slide, revenue down 13%. Sears reported another quarterly loss of $748 million. Only two quarters have been profitable since 2012. Sales at the established stores declined 7.4%, including a 4.4% dip at Kmart and a 10% drop at Sears. Sears CEO Eddie Lampert reiterated that the company remains fully committed to restoring profitability to the company. Still, the company closed 82 Kmart stores and 7 Sears stores during the 3 months ending in October. That's on top of the 58 Kmarts and 23 Sears closed in the first 6 months of the year. The two chains had 4,000 stores as recently as 2011, now down to 1,500. Dow Industrials up 65 at 19,614. S&P 500 up 4 at 2246. NASDAQ Composite up 23 at 5417. Records for all three indices. Follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com.
Godspeed, John Glenn. 6, 5, 4.